The Steelers travel to Minnesota to take on the Vikings on Thursday night football. Thoughts on the Vikings, Dominic?
They suck. They have to suck. I mean, we know these two teams have one common opponent. We know both know who it is, the Detroit Lions. The Steelers tied them. The Vikings lost to them, so that obviously means the Steelers are better here. So the Vikings just need to, you know, give up the season. They just need to pack it all in, sit Kirk Cousins, you know, put whatever the guy's name is that they drafted from Texas A&M in there, Kellen Mond in there for the rest of the year, and just go with Alexander Mattison. But in all seriousness, we know that Dalvin Cook looks like he's probably going to be out for this game. Right now, he's still marked as questionable, but he's likely going to be out. Adam Thielen is going to be out for this game, so Justin Jefferson is going to kill it in this game. He killed it last week, 180 yards and 2 touchdowns. He's going to do that again, but obviously, the one you want to talk about here is Alexander Mattison. I just think he's going to have a really good game as well. This Pittsburgh defense has not been playing great. We know T.J. Watt had 3.5 sacks last week, and he did awesome, but their run defense is not the best here, so I do think that they're going to be able to really use Mattison in this game to slow the game down a little bit and keep it close. So I do think that Pittsburgh's going to win the game, but I do think that Minnesota and Alexander Mattison could easily be a top 15 running back, even top 10 running back this week.
Yep, Steelers run defense is bad. I mean, I think that's the big thing to highlight here is I think people always, like, they see T.J. Watt and they think it was Steelers defense and they think that they're great, and they've not been great. They've been pretty much a sieve on there as opposed to letting opposing running backs run wild. Don't have a strong take for the Steelers. You know, while Najee has been quite solid, he hasn't topped 18 fantasy points since week 8. I think this is the week that he goes well over that threshold. I'm calling for a 25-point week from Najee. Vikings run defense is 29th DVOA and 29th in yards allowed per carry. That's bottom three, folks. So while I don't think there's anything too crazy, it's like you're going to start Deontay, probably Freiermuth, because you don't have another option at tight end. There's no real spot start or deep play I got here for the Viking, for the Steelers side of the ball, watching Claypool's health. But I think Najee explodes in this one, and those playoff hopefuls that are rostering Najee are going to get a great start on Thursday. All right. You were tuning in to the Fantasy Hot Read Week 14 preview. It was almost the playoffs, folks. Hope you're in it. Hope you're at least battling for it. And if you're not, hoping at least you're trying to play spoiler. I'm your host, Tyler, at FiveTylerO, joined by my good friend, Dominic. Great to have you here, Dom. How's it going, my man?
Yeah, it's great as always to be here. You know, weeks are going pretty good. Got my catheter out for my chest. Don't have to do dialysis today. So those are two good things. Of course, I go back to Dallas tomorrow, but looks like congratulations to you. You know, I'm sure you're going to crack open a beer here pretty soon. It's got to be for the Detroit Lions, although I don't know which
team had a
better. Yeah, I don't know which team had a better week this week for you, Detroit or Notre Dame. Detroit won a game, and Notre Dame got rid of Brian Kelly and got Marcus Freeman there. I think he's going to do a lot better than Brian Kelly did. I mean, the ceiling may not be much higher because you can't go much higher than making the playoffs, but agreed. I think the recruiting is going to get a lot better, and I think the players are going to like him a lot more.
Yeah, it's I think somebody on Twitter said it that Notre Dame just became a lot more likable with Marcus Freeman and Brian Kelly gone. But and Lions won a game. It's things are good. And Dan Campbell, obviously a pretty likable coach. If you just listen to him, I mean, he's a locker room guy. It's good to see. Anyways, I digress here, Dominic. Let's jump back into things. Ravens at the Browns. Last time these two met, I think it was just 2, maybe 3 weeks ago. Sorry, I don't remember exactly. It was a Ravens victory 16-10 and a bit of a divisional slog of a brawl here. What are you expecting from the Browns side this time?
Yeah, it was just 2 weeks ago because they played and then the Browns had their bye and then now they're playing again. It's weird what they're doing with a lot of the teams this year. I mean, we're having this with the Browns then. Buffalo played New England this week, then New England has their bye, and then they play Buffalo again. Washington plays Dallas this week, then they play the Eagles, then they play Dallas, then they play the Eagles. It's just weird how they're doing that at the end of the year. It's weird. But I do think Cleveland's going to be a lot better this week. They're going to be healthier coming in off the bye. Baker Mayfield, they still say he still looks pretty banged up, so I don't want to play him. If you're going to play anybody, obviously you're going to start Nick Chubb here. I'm not really big on the wide receivers either. David Njoku is probably going to miss this game with COVID. So I really think a deep play here if you need a tight end. And, you know, as they say on the fantasy footballers today, Jimmy Grandpa was the number 10 tight end last week, and his stat line was 1 for 1 for 1. So that just shows you what it really takes to become a top 10 fantasy tight end. But I think Austin Hooper has a very good chance to do that this week, especially with David Njoku out. Baltimore is absolutely terrible. They're third worst in the NFL against the tight end position. So I do think that Austin Hooper can get you a top 10 performance. That's somebody you can get off the waiver wire or in your DFS lineups as a very cheap option.
Like the call. Like the call, Dominic. Raven side of the ball. Again, I wish I had another hot take here, but basically what I'm going to say is I'm not trusting any Ravens pass catcher outside of Andrews and Hollywood Brown at the moment. Big fan of Bateman. I think long-term he's a good hold, but redraft, at least to finish the season, I'm out. He had one target for zero receptions last week. While I don't expect that to happen every week, his routes per dropback fell to an anemic 38%. He's splitting time with Sammy Watkins and Duvernay's involved. It's just not ideal. At least for this year, I think Bateman's a great wide receiver, but I am not trusting Bateman down the stretch, as they seem to be cycling in and cycling out wide receivers behind Hollywood and then their main man, Mark Andrews. Jags at Titans. Titans, Dominic.
I don't even know what to do with the Titans. I mean, you don't really want to play anybody here. We don't know if, you know, it's going to be Nick Westbrook. Ipine's going to be in there. It's going to be Julio Jones is supposed to be coming back for this game. A.J. Brown, we know, is still going to be out. Foreman's going to be the running back there as they release McNichol. I think the only person you really want to start here at all, and it's sad to say because it is Jacksonville you're going up against, and Jacksonville's been terrible the past couple weeks. The only person that I really have any interest at all in starting in this game would be Ryan Tannehill or possibly the Tennessee Titans defense, which seemed to be playing good going into the bye. Now they've gotten even a week healthier with the bye week last week. But other than that, I think it's Tannehill or bust in this one.
Yeah, it's injuries really torn apart, but at the end of the day, sometimes you got to react, and I guess they shouldn't have the depth to get it done. Jags, not much better situation. This could be a pretty ugly game. I mean, the Titans' pass defense is 19th to DVOA, 26 yards allowed per pass. Titans' pass defense is bad, but the Jags' offense is just bad. It's broken. The Jags' offense is broken. It's tough to trust anybody. I know J-Rob was a disappointment last week, but I would still trust J-Rob as an RB2 going forward. But beyond James Robinson, it's just tough for me. Like, Marvin Jones started the season hot. I'm a big Marvin Jones fan, but at this point in time, I can't sit here and advocate for starting him, especially in Treadwell's popping out. Laviska Shenault's been a bit of a disappointment. I mean, O'Shaughnessy, yeah, he's getting targets, but there's nothing exciting about it. I mean, at the end of the day, I'm really just saying here is I'm out on all Jaguars offensive pieces except for James Robinson. Raiders, Chiefs.
Yeah, what can you say about the Chiefs? You have Patrick Mahomes, you have Travis Kelce, and you have, you know, Tyreek Hill. They're an explosive offense, but they're a very predictable offense. You know who to start and who not to start. CEH is back for this game. He was back last week, so he may get some run here. Oakland tends to play them very tough. Last year, they were the first team to beat Kansas City. They beat them at Kansas City. I think it was like 45-42, so it was a high-scoring game. But Patrick Mahomes isn't playing that well this year. He's just, for some reason, he doesn't have the touch on the ball that he used to have. He's just trying to gun it in there like a rookie that doesn't know what he's doing. He needs to get that figured out. If he does, which he could very well do against the Raiders here, he's going to be great. But like I said, it's with this team, you know what to expect. You're going to start one of their top four, and you're pretty much not going to start anybody else.
Raiders, if Waller's out again, he's still not practicing today, is Wednesday. I'm going back to Foster Moreau. I know he was a disappointment to folks last week, but I would expect a bounce-back game. He's a starting tight end there, and there's not another tight end vying for time or threatening Moreau. Right, a lot of times you see a starting tight end go down and they'll do like a bit of a platoon. I mean, heck, some teams just do a platoon anyways. That's not the case on the Raiders. He is the starting tight end, and I think people trusted him last week. He disappointed them. People are going to be off of him. I'm going back to Moreau if Waller is out. Waller had a 20% target share versus Chiefs last time these two teams met. They could easily go back to Moreau. So I like a Moreau bounce back game if Waller is out. And then more of a deep shot here is Kenny Drake's out. Jalen Richard is worth a pickup in your medium to deeper leagues. Josh Jacobs is going to sit for some passing work. We know that's going to happen. That's been what's happened in the past. So I think Jalen Richard is somebody we've seen have a decent role in the pass game. Is somebody worth, you know, so I'm not saying in like your 10 team, 5-6 bench spots, but if you're in a 12 to 14 team league, you got a deeper bench in a 12 team league or even a 14 team league. I think Jalen Richard is, especially because he's on COVID right now, you could probably slot him into your IR slot for free, is worth kind of a deeper shot as he could turn into a passing down back here, especially because we've seen it in the years past. Saints at the Jets. You got the Jets. Sorry, Dominic.
That's all right. That gives me nothing to talk about. I mean, Zach Wilson played good in the first half last week. If they had a kicker that actually could make a kick, they would have had 21 points instead of 18 points. They still would have lost, but at least they would have had some hope. He played terrible in the second half. The defense played terrible. He's not getting any protection. Mekhi Becton's probably going to be out again. Just that offensive line's playing terrible. We don't know what to do with the running backs. The wide receiver, Corey Davis, is going to be out for the rest of the year with an abdominal strain. So it just, I don't want to play anybody here. If you have to play somebody, you may want to play Tevin Coleman, but even that's tough because the Saints, as bad as they played against the Eagles and their run defense, their rush defense is usually very good. So I don't think that even Tevin Coleman is going to do much in this game. So I don't expect a lot of points from either team in this game. I expect it to be a very heavy run game. So I expect it to be a low scoring, like 20-9 game. So I don't even know if I want to play anybody on either side in this game, other than Alvin Kamara coming back.
Yeah. I mean, a 43 point over under, it sounds like you'd be on the under on that.
Oh, absolutely. I'm thinking more like 20-9 or 21-10 or something like that.
Saints, I mean, mallet finger or not, Taysom Hill is a top 12 quarterback every time he is a starter. In case you aren't familiar with that, he did hurt his finger this last week, but he still finishes a top 12 quarterback, and especially because he's against the Jets, too. Jets defense is not good. You know, sure, an injured finger isn't great for throwing, but Taysom Hill couldn't throw anyways, so it doesn't even matter. We are not starting Taysom Hill because he can throw the ball. We start him because he runs the ball. He's got that rushing upside, and he threw four picks last week, and he's still a top 12 quarterback. I doubt he throws four picks again, maybe two, but not four. He's only rostered in 43% of Yahoo leagues right now, and he's likely better than some people starting quarterbacks this week. So, you know, if you're starting like a Wentz or a Cousins or even like a Tua, I would be starting Taysom over all of those guys going forward as long as he's a starter. The rushing upside is just too juicy, and, you know, he's a lock for 20 points when he's playing a full game.
And to be fair, with this Saints team doing what they're doing, unfortunately, Mark Ingram's probably going to be out because he was just added to the COVID list. But Taysom Hill may throw less passes than Mac Jones did on Monday.
Hey, man. That's probably good for Taysom Hill's fantasy outlook, though, because it means he's probably running the ball 15 times.
Absolutely.
Cowboys at Washington football team. Washington football team. Dominic.
I like this football team. I think they're actually going to win this game. They're underdogs, but I do think they're going to be able to pull it out. I really like what Taylor Heineke's doing. But in this game, if J.D. McKissick is back, I've been a big fan of his all year. I'm going to continue to be a big fan of his. In his absence, Antonio Gibson had a great game last week. I think he's going to continue to do that against the Dallas defense that was good at the beginning of the year, and it's kind of slacking off a little bit lately. That could be due to, you know, Dan Quinn having to be the head coach last week and not being the main guy, but he still didn't do a whole. And yes, he did have four touchdowns, but again, like we talked about earlier, that was Taysom Hill, and that was a very banged up Saints defense against the Raiders the week before. They gave up 36 points in the loss on Thanksgiving. I think they're going to give up quite a few points here again to Washington. Washington seems to be hot right now. Their defense is playing better. So I really think you can start their defense. And as long as he's playing, I really like J.D. McKissick in this game as well. And obviously with Logan Thomas on IR for the rest of the year, you can always start up the Seal Man as well, Ricky Seals-Jones.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I love the Ricky Seals-Jones deep play. I think a lot of people dropped him when Logan Thomas came back. And Ricky Seals, he had a couple disappointing games, but he was pretty solid in terms of streamer. Also, Dominic is an Eagles fan, calling it an upset against the Cowboys. I am not surprised. But the Cowboys do have a tendency to crash and burn late in the season. So I'm not surprised. But I think this is going to be a good offensive game, regardless of the outcome, win or loss. I am all in on firing up the Cowboys. The Washington football team pass defense is not good. In fact, they've been quite bad all season long. I do believe this is one of those that hits the over in the 48 implied points. I think, like you mentioned, the Washington football team is looking better on offense, and I think the Cowboys, at least their passing offense, is going to keep firing. Zeke is an RB2 in this one against a strong Washington football team run defense. But at the same time, the pass defense is putrid, so I'm firing up all those pass catchers, Amari, CeeDee, Schultz, and Gallup Putting them all in my lineups, feeling pretty good for all those guys. So I'm trusting the Cowboys to help me make the fantasy playoffs. What could go wrong, Dominic?
Absolutely. As an Eagles fan, absolutely nothing can go wrong.
Falcons, Panthers, Panthers.
Chuba Hubbard, I mean, it's pretty much the only thing you want to do. They said Cam Newton's going to play this game again. He's going to start the game. We don't know what's going to happen here. They fired Joe Brady, which was a giant fall from excellence for him. He was
the head coach. Yeah, people don't want to put him as a head coach, man.
Exactly. He was like the head coach in waiting for like 18 of the 32 NFL teams coming into this year. Now he got fired halfway through the year and is probably, I'm guessing, I don't know for sure. Obviously, I don't have any insider. He's either going to be the offensive coordinator at LSU or Miami, University of Miami, most likely, but because they lost Brett Lashley at SMU as their head coach. So we'll see what happens with him, but he's taking a major dip. With that said, we don't know what they're going to do on offense. We know they're going to want to run the ball with either Cam Newton or Chuba Hubbard. Cam Newton, we know, we saw the last game they played against Miami. He was absolutely terrible. He had a QBR of 20 in the game. It was like, I think it was four. It was like the lowest QBR they've ever had. He couldn't get the ball downfield. He still can't do that. So I think it's going to be another big running game for the Carolina Panthers. They're going to want to keep it close. And I think that the only person you really want to start here would be Chuba Hubbard.
Falcons actually didn't look bad last week against the Bucs. Is this a sign of life? I'm not so sure. My take here is do not be fooled by Mike Davis's. He had a good fantasy week for people, but he only had four carries and four targets, and he's not going to produce that kind of fantasy week again. I still expect the Falcons to lean pass heavy in this one, but Mike Davis is a trap if you're simply looking at the box score. Keep it simple here, folks. Seahawks at the Texans. Texans, Dominic.
Yeah, looks like Tyrod Taylor's not going to play in this game. He was actually benched last week. He got injured, but they pretty much benched him. Right now, it looks like Davis Mills and him are both taking snaps. The report today said that Davis Mills wasn't getting as many snaps as Tyrod Taylor, but that David Culley still said that Davis Mills is likely going to be the starter here. David Johnson missed last week. He's probably going to miss again this week. Brandon Cooks is out there, but I don't really like the Brandon Cooks in this game, especially with Jalen or with Davis Mills there. I don't want to start anybody in this game on the Houston side of the ball at all.
Yeah, I mean, even Brandon Cooks he's like the one hope, but at the same time, it's like you don't feel confident just the way things have been going, so it's tough. Seahawks, the backfield has been a bit disgusting. Penny did see 11 touches and had 62 yards on those 11 touches and 42% of the team snaps, which was decent, but it is Rashad Penny. I mean, I guess what I'm saying is I think – like kind of like in the way that Jalen Richard is worth kind of the deeper stash in your maybe 12 or 14 team leagues, I think Penny might be worth the stash just to see what happens. I mean, AP is dust. Collins isn't any good. Homer, Dallas don't seem like they're getting it done. You know, there's an outside chance one of these dudes is like an RB3 for the final bit of the season here, which is in those deeper leagues, that's a fine flex play. The reason I say that is Russ is looking healthier. Like, I believe he might have returned from that mallet finger a bit early because when he came back from that injury, he did not look good. But he has seemed to look a lot better. And when Russ is healthy, this offense does click. This offense is good. I mean, this is like one of the most quarterback, you know, dependent offenses in the NFL in terms of like if Russ is playing healthy, this is a top 10 team. If Russ is out, this is like a bottom 5 team. It's pretty crazy. But Russ is looking better, and I think that, you know, if I'm going to take a shot at one of these running backs, it would probably be Penny and just sit him at the end of my bench and see what happens. But I am trusting DK and Lockett at this point. I think I saw enough out of Russ to feel decently confident they're at least wide receiver twos.
And Lockett did have that touchdown as well last week, so that was good to see finally.
Detroit at Denver. You got the Broncos.
Yeah, kudos to your Detroit Lions. They won last week. Hopefully this isn't a trap game for them. One thing we know about Denver this year is they tend to play very, very good against bad teams, and they play very, very bad against good teams. Detroit, although they did get a win last week, and by some shocking, I just put it out on Twitter. I didn't see what it was because it was a picture, but they are still, they can still qualify for the playoffs if a bunch still of alive. Things happen. They're still alive for the playoffs. That a bunch of stuff has to happen. I put a chart out or something, but it can still happen. I think one of those things is to win out. And unfortunately, I don't think that's going to happen. Denver, they didn't have Melvin Gordon last week. They did have Javonte Williams, who had a monster game against Kansas City. I think he's going to have another monster game here. Detroit's defense against the run is in the bottom five of the league, so I really like Javonte Williams in this game. I don't really expect a whole lot out of Jerry Jeudy. Cortland Sutton's been very disappointing this year, and so is Noah Fant. That a lot of that has to do with Teddy Bridgewater being a solid, mediocre quarterback, but not a good, great quarterback. So I think that's going to stay the same. The one person I would start here with in Denver, other than their defense, is Javonte Williams.
Detroit, it's tough. Has been tough all year. I think Hockenson, obviously, is a start. But Jamal Williams is more of a low-end RB2, high-end RB3 at this point. With Swift out, people thought Williams was going to come in and really bear the load, and that hasn't been the case. He only ran 21% of routes on dropbacks, which is not good, which means they're not deploying Jamal Williams as their pass-catching back. He's kind of holding his same role as he did when Swift was back. Godwin, I'm not going to butcher his last name, backup running back for the Lions, is coming in and taking that pass work from Jamal Williams. It's tough to trust Jamal Williams as more of an RB, low-end RB2, high-end RB3 at this point, just a guy that can get you 10 to 12 points. And, you know, it's just sad times right now. Another piece is I'm not trusting Amon-Ra St. Brown. I know he had a great game last week, but we've seen this from multiple pass catchers. They have a blow-up week, even Josh Reynolds, Khalif Raymond's had some big weeks. It's just not worth trying to chase these wide receivers on the Lions for their points. I mean, the offense is just bad, so do not fall for an Amon-Ra St. Brown trap. If anything, I would start Josh Reynolds over any of them, but at the same time, I'm trying to avoid all of these wide receivers and really just start Hawk and maybe Jamal Williams. Giants at the Chargers. Chargers, hit me.
I'm going to talk about one player here because I absolutely love him, and it just got better earlier today. We know Keenan Allen is most likely going to be out for this game. He did test positive or he's on the COVID list. He has to have two negative tests. He might come back, but we don't think he's going to. And then today, Mike Williams was added to the COVID list as well, so he's probably not going to be back. That leaves it down to Jalen Guyton, who I love in this game. I would start him. I would sit Brandon Cooks, and I'd go try and get Jalen Guyton off your waiver wire. He had a touchdown last week. He's a speed guy. We know that when Justin Herbert is at his best, he's throwing the ball downfield with his rocket arm. I think there's going to be a lot of that going on here. They're going to count on him a lot, as well as Jared Cook. Obviously, they're going to use Austin Eckler there as long as he doesn't fumble the ball away again. But I think when they don't go to Austin Eckler, they're going to go into Jalen Guyton. I can see him easily having five catches for 100 yards here and possibly a touchdown.
I like the call. I think that they both sit. Josh Palmer is also worth a deep look, too. I expect Josh Palmer to operate out of the slot, similar to Keenan Allen. So I think both those guys, if you're wide receiver needy, could be good options this week against a bad Giants team. Giants, I mean, woof, what is there to say? Looks like Galladay's out. I'm not sure about Tony or Shepard. At the end of the day, like, these wide receivers just can't stay healthy. Looks like Daniel Jones is out. Glennon's out. They're going to be starting Jake Fromm at quarterback. It's just a hard no for me across the board here. I think the only player I'm interested in is Saquon. It's been a disappointment. I mean, I don't really blame Saquon. He's been injured, and this offense just can't score points regardless. I don't think there's any running back in the league that could overcome this bad of an offense. But Saquon is getting an elite opportunity share, and the Chargers are like the stone worst run defense in the NFL. So, to me, Saquon is an RB2. He's the only Giant of interest. And I guess I'll go as far to say I am trusting Saquon this week in fantasy. 49ers, Bengals. Bengals, thoughts?
Start everybody. I love this Bengals team. Joe Burrow, I mean, he was throwing right-handed and his pinky finger was pointing to the left but at the end of the game, but he still finished the game. I know they didn't finish as well as they wanted to, but this San Francisco Giants defense and their offense, especially the running backs, is really beat up. I think they're going to be able to do anything they want to against the San Francisco team. Being that they're at home, they're a roller coaster team. They have a bad week, a good week. If they win this game, and what I think is going to happen is Baltimore is going to lose their game, then they'll be at the top of the division again, only 3 weeks after being last in the division and 4 weeks after being first in the conference. They'll be back up to their first seed again. At least in the division, they'll be the top seed. So I do think that they're going to have that happen. Obviously, I love all three of the receivers here, and I love Joe Mixon here. I think you can start any of their five starters in this game. Obviously, I'm not going to start the tight end, CJ Uzama, but I'm going to start any of their receivers, Joe Mixon and Joe Burrow, in this game.
49ers, I'll keep it quite simple. The 49ers signed Brian Hill off the street as some depth, because Elijah Mitchell, concussion, not practicing. Jeff Wilson, flare up in the knee, not practicing. Trenton Cannon, concussion, not practicing. Jermichael Hasty could be the only healthy running back with experience. And we know the running backs on the 49ers have value. And Jermichael Hasty has shown it in the past. Like, he hasn't really gotten a full workload ever. He's been more of a pass catching role, but even 16 touches in this game could be great. So I think Jermichael Hasty, pretty much available in all leagues, is absolutely worth a roster spot right now, even in those 10-team leagues.
And Elijah Mitchell, that came out today as well, that he, not only a concussion, but he also had a knee scope or some, or a knee MRI today, and it shows some inflammation in his knee as well.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, just grabbing these 49ers running backs, especially the ones that have been on the team for a while, is it's just good practice. So go out and get Hasty. Bills at Bucks. This should be a good one. I mean, the Bills are in an odd way fighting for a wild card spot right now. Probably going to get it, but still fighting for it objectively. And the Bucks are trying to overcome the Cardinals for home field advantage in the playoffs. So I think that this is a big one where both these teams are really going to fight for a win. And we've seen both these teams play at a high level this year. Shapes up for a good one. Thoughts on the Bucks?
Yeah, this is a high-scoring game. I think it's got the highest over-under of the week. It's 52.5 right now. The Bills are coming off a terrible game on Monday night. It was terrible because of the 60-mile-an-hour hurricane they were in or whatever, but it was still a bad game for them. Tampa Bay being at home, they play completely different there. They're undefeated at home. They finally won two games on the road the last 2 weeks against the Colts in Atlanta. That's given them a lot more confidence, which Tom Brady really doesn't need any confidence. Gronk had two touchdowns last week. Fournette had another touchdown after three touchdowns the week before. I just think they're going to be able to maul anything they want to do here. And Bruce Arians is smart enough to see what the Buffalo has had done to him by Jonathan Taylor. And again, this week by the rushing game of the New England Patriots. So I really like Leonard Fournette to have another big game this week. Obviously Tom Brady's going to get his and the receivers are going to get theirs, but I really like Leonard Fournette as a low end or even a top eight running back this week at the end of the week.
Bills, you know, the Bucks pass defense has been leaky. Run defense has been great. So we're not starting Bills running backs, but I think I'll just take it one step further and say, just cut bait on any Bills running backs. I mean, we don't know who it's going to be week to week. I mean, it was Breida for a couple weeks. It was Moss last week in the rain. It's a three-headed attack on a team where we don't know who's going to be leading that three-headed attack on an offense where they throw the ball all the time. So I guess I'm stop trying to guess what Bills running back is going to get it done. And I'm just off the Bills running back train completely, not even thinking about putting any of them on my rosters going forward or starting them. Also, I think Emmanuel Sanders, we've seen the best of what he has to offer this year. And we've seen a bit more Gabe Davis. He's outplaying him in some regards. So I think Emmanuel Sanders, while he started the season off hot, it's time to cut him and put one of these other running backs on your bench for the playoff run. Bears, Packers, thoughts?
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers eats the Bears for lunch. He does it every game. He's going to do it again here. Aaron Jones is going to be back after the bye week. A.J. Dillon's still going to be there as well. So you're going to have, you know, everybody here. If you're obviously going to start the big three, you know, with Devontae Adams, Aaron Jones and Aaron Rodgers. I'm going to tell you, as a flex, I think A.J. Dillon is going to have a lot of work in this game as well. We saw what he could do when when Aaron Jones isn't there. He's very capable to catch the ball, even though he wasn't used that way at Boston College. I think he only had like 19 catches his entire college career. He may have 19 this year. He is very good when they need him to be. If Aaron Jones comes back and he's not quite right, they're going to sit him out a little bit. I think they'll lean him in because they don't really need him in this game to win. So they're just going to edge him back in a little bit slowly. And I think that's going to leave a lot of work for A.J. Dillon here, and he could easily be a top 24 back at the end of the week.
Bears, Montgomery seems to hit the injury report here. He hasn't had like a clean bill of health all year. I mean, I've seen what is on the injury report for Montgomery. Various issues. It's his glute. It's his groin. It's his shoulder. It's time to go out and pick up Khalil Herbert. Herbert was a rock solid RB2 in Montgomery's absence and looked to be a pretty damn good back when he was out there. He actually had 19 carries or 97 yards and a touchdown. Herbert did the last time he played the Packers. And I have no concerns about Damian Williams at this point. Khalil Herbert is only rostered in 17% of Yahoo leagues and deserves a bench spot, especially if you're listening to this on Thursday and Montgomery still hasn't practiced. I mean, Khalil Herbert needs to be added and put on that bench because he is a solid running back, a very high-end RB2 when Montgomery sits.
And that's a Sunday night game. So if you're going to wait on Montgomery, then you definitely have to pick up Herbert so you have somebody in case he doesn't play.
Good call, Dominic. Monday Night Football. Let's close things out here. It's going to be another great one. Rams and Cardinals. Matt Stafford has a lot to prove in this one, but you got the Cardinals.
Yeah, I actually think the Rams are going to win this one. But as for the Cardinals, I do think that Chase Edmonds is off the IR. He's designated to return, but I don't think he's going to come back for this game. So it's still going to be James Conner here. We saw what Kyler Murray did last week when he finally came back. He had 2 touchdowns passing, 2 touchdowns rushing, which is great to see him come back and actually run the ball. New Hopkins is going to be the best player on the field here. I do like the Arizona offense here. So I'm just going to, you know, there's basically 3 guys that you want to start here. Maybe Christian Kirk, but most likely you're just only going to want to start the 3 guys, especially against this Rams defense, which is still very good. And Aaron Donald, who, even though he hasn't done much yet this year, he's going to light it up sooner or later. It could be in this game, especially in the division. They know they need to win it. So I'm going to say you can start Murray, obviously, and you can start Nuke. And if you want to start James Conner, I do think he could also be a top 20 back this week.
Rams side of the ball. I think Sony Michel last week, Anderson wasn't out, but basically out. Sony Michel, 24 carries for 121 yards and a touchdown. 4 targets, caught 3 for 8. I think what's important to note here is Henderson has never seen over 21 touches on his offense. And, you know, Sony's first go, they already gave him 24. I think it says a little bit about how they might use him going forward. I still think Henderson might be the full-time back, but McVay went on record talking about them as being like kind of a Zeke Pollard, combo. I think Henderson is definitely the back zone. I think he's going to be, you know, when healthy, Henderson is still an RB2. But I do think, one, Sony Michel might start getting some play down the road. Not enough to flex, but we'll see. But at the end of the day, we have seen that if Henderson, for some reason, cannot play, Michel has league-winning upside. I mean, he just threw like 23 points, depending on your format, last week. So I think Sony Michel, in case someone dropped him because Henderson's going to come back, he also is one of those guys that you want on your bench going forward. I mean, there is a theme here, folks. I'm a big proponent of this. Dominic, interested to see what your thoughts are. But as say you've made the playoffs, I like stacking my bench with, handcuffer insurance running backs. Just in case, like, one of these running backs goes down, that my bench is full of guys like Devontae Booker, Khalil Herbert, Sony Michel, guys that if they do play for some reason, they can drop you 15, 20, 25 points in a week and can win you that. So I'm a big proponent of, once you've made the playoffs, kind of cutting the fat off your bench and getting those backup running backs on there. Your thoughts on that strategy?
I do agree. I certainly think that in any league that I'm in, I do, which is probably why it didn't work for me this year, and I probably – because I had more wide receivers. But I think in any of my benches, I like to have more running backs than wide receivers. They just seem to get hurt more, and they're more, you know, you can find them less often as well. They're kind of like the, you know, the prized fruit of the waiver wire tree. So they're harder to find off the waiver wire than just a wide receiver is to fill in. So especially when it gets to the playoffs, I really like having, like you said, like Zeke and Pollard, which may be hard, or Henderson and, you know, Sony Michel or something like that. Or even if you know who you're going to play in the first round and they have Zeke Elliott and somehow you can get Pollard, or if they have somebody and you can get their backup, I would certainly do that in case they do, their guy is out, then you have the edge because you already have the person's backup and then they have nobody to play that week.
And Dominic, where can they find you on Twitter and where can they find your work?
You can follow me on Twitter at EnvisionFF, and you can find my work at The Athletic, ExpandTheBoxScore.com, and RotoBaller.com.
You can find me on Twitter at FFTylerO. That's all we have today, folks. Don't forget, tell somebody you love them. Later.